Okay, brothers. Okay. So, I don't know. I thought this is a training. But is it a training? Well, this is a conference. It's two different things. Huh? Is this a training or is this a conference? Do you want a training or do you want a conference? Huh? Well, the plan is that we would use several meetings this weekend, beginning tonight, and then tomorrow, the entire day, when we will have, I believe, four sessions, two in the morning, and then one after a rest time in the after lunch in the second part of the afternoon, and then finally tomorrow evening. And then Lord's Day, we actually would have a conference-style meeting because all the local saints in this area will join. So our time with 200 brothers or so would actually just be tonight and tomorrow. The plan was to cover four messages that we selected from the recent international elders and responsible ones training there in Leipzig, Germany. And some of the brothers were there, but I suppose most of us were not. So we plan to use four sessions of the six. Is that right? Yes. To cover four messages of the nine messages given in that iterative training. And I believe you have this book in your hand, which is the same as this book. And that is the outlines and the ministry excerpts for those nine messages. Now, tonight, supposedly, I am assigned to give message two of that outline. And the general subject of Itero being the recovery of the church, the recovery of the church. Message two is actually on that subject, exactly on that subject, on the original condition of the church, the degradation of the church, and the recovery of the church. So I was prepared, and I gave this message in Leipzig, and I was prepared to share this tonight. But this afternoon, after I got up from my rest, I have some feeling within me. Instead of covering this message, to say something to you, concerning a burden within me. Now, that burden especially would apply to many of you who were in what we call this eldership training in these last 2 years. Now, no, I know not all of you were there. I'd like to have a show of hands. How many of you at least were in 1 year of that training? Just 1 year. This is a good, all right, thank you. This is a good 70%. How many of you actually gone on to 2 years? I know we're not done yet, but you are in this current second year training. How many of you are there? Okay, thank you. So about the same. number. And as that training is drawing to a close, I feel somewhat obligated, and that hence the burden I had this afternoon, to say something to you. I would not call this a conclusion to that training, but in a way, an afterword, if you know that word, afterword. So after this training, whether it's 1 year, whether it's 2 years, where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? So I would ask you to forgive me and the brothers here to forgive me, to give me a little liberty tonight to not get into this message too. Then you say, well, we'll miss it. Well, you won't. Number one, it's all here, including the ministry reading. By the way, I said in those eldership training videos, if you recall, repeatedly, that the message or the class is just 30%. The rest, the 70%, is not up to me. It's up to you to get into the material and to practice what you received. So I ought to say the same thing tonight, that this matter of these messages that are here from the ITERO training, you can download MP3 from lsm.org. For $1, I think, per message, you can just listen to it, and I'll be speaking in Germany. And not only I'll be speaking, there are a number of brothers speaking in a blended way, as usual, these 9 messages in a wonderful way. So if you have the heart to get into these things, there are ways. There are ways. Now, tomorrow, other brothers will cover some other selected messages of the 9. And we should be happy about that. And we should also pay our utmost attention to what is fellowship. Obviously, we cannot cover all 9 messages. We selected only 4. Do you mind that, brothers? In other words, I won't cover a message tonight. Are you okay? See, I'm not here often, and I feel not to come here to speak something I spoke in Germany when you can get it on MP3 or on LSM audio. I rather redeem the time to say something of my burden specifically for you. It's okay? Amen. All right. If I have time, I'll get into the message. It doesn't mean I didn't prepare myself. I did. But I just feel the Lord, the Spirit, whatever, seems to have overridden that. What do I want to talk to you about, brothers? In 1991, in the Memorial Day conference, there Brother Lee, Witness Lee, released a series of messages that led to and precipitated the recovery's burden to go to Russia. That's 1991. And today you can find those wonderful messages. That is a very, very special book. You can find those messages in the book the world situation and the direction of the Lord's move. Well worth your reading. Now, in that book, in one of the messages, Brother Lee said this. He said he felt that today, this is 1991, among us in the recovery, our shortage is not in revelation. We have an abundance, in other words, of revelation, of truths, of visions. He said, what we're short of is two things. Number one, the application of what we saw. Now, by application, I would suggest that it would include experience, the experience of what we saw. I would include into it the practice of what we saw, or the exercise of what we saw. I would include in that the living out of what we saw, or, if I could use this word, include in this the working out of what we saw. All right? All this I would include in the word application. Then secondly, he said, what we're short of besides application is propagation, the spread of what we have received from the Lord. That it is still too contained. It is not broadcasted. It is not spread. It is not disseminated as it should be. I like to tell you that speaking left a deep impression within me, so much so that today, personally, in my ministry and in my service in the Lord's recovery to help the churches, the saints, etc., these two things has become my guidepost. My guidepost. As far as I'm concerned, by the time Witness Lee passed away in 1997, the entire Bible has been interpreted in a very full way. Maybe not to the smallest detail, but comprehensively, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all opened. You agree with me?
Amen.
And all the way even to what he called the high peak of the divine revelation, which comprised Brother Lee's last years of Brother Lee's ministry. So, if there would be a burden within me, my burden and prayer would be, Lord, in your recovery in the churches, how much are we applying successfully what we have seen, what you have shown us? That's the measuring stick, the yardstick. And number two, how much have we propagated this and spread this to others as a kind of a gospel? Well, now it's 20-some years later, since 1991, Brothers, I must tell you, I am still struggling with these two matters. In other words, I don't think we have something to write home about, as they say. I don't know how you feel. I feel we are still short in applying all the things shown to us. In our practice, in our exercise, in our living, and in our work. No. For example, the God-man living, a great, great revelation that was released in the 90s. Are we living that out, brothers? Another example, this vision of all visions in the last two pages of the Bible called the New Jerusalem. And our brother's word is we need to live out the New Jerusalem. We need to work out the New Jerusalem today. In fact, it's in the hymn we just sang that the church, the local churches, should be a miniature. Am I right? A miniature expression of that glorious city. Brothers, can you say that our church life is that? Well, you say, this bar is too high. No one can reach it. Well, I like to say this. God does not give revelation for the sake of revelation. God does not speak to man for the sake of speaking to man. God does not endow us with visions just so that we can be enthralled by visions. Revelation, in the end, must be what? Experienced. Visions must be carried out. In fact, in another place, our brother said this, and I love this definition. He said, the meaning, the significance of a revival, you know the word revival, is not like the Pentecost, you know, that kind of strange and crazy, you know, the Spirit came down and whatever. No. He said, in church history, all the genuine revivals are the results of the successful outworking of a truth, of a revelation. That if a revelation or a truth or a vision comes to us without being worked out, there will be no revival. In fact, a danger exists. And that is when a truth comes to us or a revelation comes to us and we fail to work it out, very possibly that revelation, that truth, will become a doctrine. It will remain as a teaching, a good one, a high one. And such is the sad history of the church. Now, I would not say that today we have seen it all. There's nothing more to be seen. Who can say that? Who have the audacity to say that? No. The Lord only knows. But I can say this. from the bottom of my heart that what we have received from the two brothers who stood on the shoulders of all the past great Christian teachers, especially with Brother Nee, with this ability to discern the right from the wrong, the clean from the unclean, to filter out so many things from the church, Big C, that are in error, that are inaccurate, that are incomplete, etc. Or I shouldn't say incomplete, but that are twisted. You know what I mean. The Bible. So that what we receive in the Lord's recovery from these two servants of the Lord and senior co-workers among us is truly and what we call all inheriting ministry. Inheriting from all of the ages. We stand on the shoulder fully of the British brethren. Absolutely. We are not shameful to say that. We stand on the shoulders of others. Recently, I'm reading something by Robert Govett on the whole great truth of the millennium, of reward and punishment, of the truth concerning the kingdom. A great, great matter that is hardly preached at all in Christianity today. We stand on their shoulders. The inner life, people, we stand on their shoulders. So, these brothers not only stood on the shoulders of these past ones, unbelievably, let me tell you, unbelievably, the Lord's recovery flow, talk about the recovery of the church, make a momentous pivot from Europe, the West, to this heathen land of China, all right? With a young man who was saved when he was 19 or 18. I couldn't comprehend that, to tell you the truth. And then not only with him, following him, another young man from the north. You know, this first young man is from the south. The other young man is from the north. Now tonight I speak freely, but I'd like to tell you these things that I'm telling you, telling you, are not things that I just dreamed about. I have been thinking, actually studying, our own history in the context of the Lord's greater recovery. The more I study, the more amazed and astounded I become. How sovereign God could be. In coming to China. And have the recovery landed on the shoulders of these two young men. 2 years apart in age, but one treating the other as his spiritual father. And how these two men is a rare combination of two persons with two ministries, personal ministries, combined into one, inseparable. Let me tell you, no one should dare to separate these two men. And any effort to do so, and some have done that, exerted that effort, don't know what they're doing, or didn't know what they were doing. But this is for another time. I like to get to this point, and that is, my dear brothers, what we have received from these two brothers, based on their knowledge of all the best of the past or Western Christianity, coupled with what the Lord have shown them directly. Today is in our hands. This all inheriting and all inclusive. I would say all balanced ministry of the New Testament. I like to say completely aligned with the apostles. Paul, John, especially these two, plus others, the others. And every day I pinch myself and say, how did this happen that I got plucked into this? Now, if you don't have that feeling, forgive me to say, you have not gotten into this ministry adequately. We are not blind followers of men. We are not here putting a couple of guys on some pedestal. You follow me? We are not Neites or Leites. But we cannot deny, if you have gotten into these things, that what we have is the highest, the most accurate, the most inclusive, the most balanced, and I would even say the deepest of the divine revelation, and that is the Word of God. But my brothers, I said that vision is not just for vision. Revelation is not the end in itself. All this that we have received is what? For God's people to live out and to work out. Amen. You want to know what is our commission? Or what I think is our commission today, post-knee and post-lee, that is my commission. I, and I doubt anyone in this room, will never have the kind of revelation that these two brothers had. Am I too much to say that? I certainly won't. But I feel honored, I feel blessed, I feel privileged that I'm living in this age today. And for me, not for all of you, but for me, to even have the opportunity to sit at the feet of one of these two for decades, hearing these words with my own ears. And even more, I count it, I'm the luckiest guy, right? To be able to have some share in this ministry and in co-laboring with Brother Lee for less than 20 years. As a junior learner. See, a junior learner. Today I'm looking back 20 years after his passing this year, huh? This year. Exactly 20 years. I look back. It seems the more the time passes, the more I am just, the more I realize what had happened. So I have no job to do, brothers. Let me tell you, I have no other commission. I don't. I really do. I just have one burden, myself, to live this out and to work this out and to do my best in coordination with other brothers, to help the churches and the saints to do likewise. I believe when this living out and this working out is successful to a certain degree, that's the new revival. Now, with that as a kind of a backdrop, this is my burden for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the second half of that chapter, Paul talked about, told Timothy to be a good minister of Christ Jesus. I'm not correct. That's in 2 Timothy, I think. He talked about this. He talked about, He talked about, he said, be a good minister of Christ Jesus, to be nourished by this word, the words of the faith, and of the good teaching, which you have closely followed. All right? Then, for the rest of the verses to the end of that chapter, Paul's word to his young co-worker, focus on what? On exercise. And number two, on practice. I am very, very burdened, brothers, for all of us. And I'm talking to elders, I'm talking to leading brothers, I'm talking to responsible ones. That today we would give ourselves to practice these things. The verse here says, number one, exercise yourself unto godliness. The point is exercise. Exercise. You have closely followed the teaching. You have the words of the faith. Now, exercise yourself. Do you see the point? You know, this word exercise is the gymnastic type of exercise. And then he said, practice these things. Be in them, that your progress may be manifest to all. So you have not only an exercise, that exercise would become a practice. You know, the word practice appears in 1 John in a negative way. It's called practicing sin. If you go read chapter 3, you see that he who practice sin, practice. So that word practice there means it is not something that you do occasionally. That's not a practice. That's maybe an exercise, but that's not a living. When you do something continually, habitually, then it's no longer just an exercise, it is a practice. Then he says, at the end of this chapter, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things. Continue in these things. That means what? What does that mean? Do these things. Do it. Live it out. Work it out. For in so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Brothers, we in the Lord's recovery have seen a lot. I mean, 7 feasts a year. Now, that's a lot. Training after training, you know, semi-annual training. You know, we're going to get into Leviticus. We just finished what? Ezekiel, right? Now we get into Leviticus. And before that, we're going to be in Phoenix with another 6 messages on a subject that I don't have a liberty to tell you. You better come to Phoenix. Message after message, truth after truth. We have no shortage at all with regards to the word, the revelation. But brothers, I will tell you, our shortage is in the exercise, in the practice, in the continuation of these things. I keep quoting dates, right? Because Brother Witness Lee released what he called the high peak of the divine revelation. When? In the Chinese New Year conference that year in February. You say, how do you remember it? Oh, I remember it well, because I spoke. He was sick. Brother Lee was sick. So he gave the first word, the first meeting. You know, usually there are 5 meetings or 4 or 5 meetings. The first meeting. Then the second meeting, we were all waiting for him, right? He didn't come. We were downstairs in those days. There's a prep room there, you know, Ball Road. You know, some of you have been to Ball Road downstairs. We were all waiting for Brother Lee for the pre-meeting prayer, the prep meeting. Never came. About 30 minutes, you know, whenever we're supposed to meet, Brother Andrew Yu, you know Andrew Yu, huh? Showed up and said, Minoru, come here, come here. So we went out to the dining area and sat down and said, what's going on? He said, Brother Lee is not coming. He asked me to tell you, you speak tonight. Thankfully, there was an outline. Brother Lee said, this is Andrew speaking, emphasize this point, and this point, and that point. That's it. 20 minutes before the meeting, with hundreds of saints, thousands of saints, sitting up there. And I was given that. Now, let me tell you, one does not forget those experiences. So I gave that. Ooh. I forgot what I spoke. I don't know. So then the next meeting came. I said, Brother Lee's going to come, right? He didn't come. The 20 minutes before, Andrew came and say, Brother Lee's not coming. He said, you're speaking again. So he took the outline and say, this point, that point, and that was it. And frankly, I forgot all that I spoke. And the last meeting, he came. And he sat on the chair and spoke very briefly. And that was it. That was that conference. He first released the high peak on God becoming man and man becoming God. You know today that song? What miracle, what mystery? You know that one? that was written in Chinese for that conference. That is a high hymn, very high hymn. Today, you can find the book of those messages, and you'll find my speaking there. But I would never recommend it, because to me, it doesn't belong there. It's too high, you know. But Brother Lee always encourages us. So in his last message, he came to give the last word. He say, thank the Lord, we have so many brothers in the recovery that can speak. He was talking about me, right? He said, I heard from someone that your replacement, Brother Lee's replacement, is better than you. Well, of course, I know that is a lie. My point is, Brother Lee knew how to encourage people, right? Okay, forget about all of that. Brothers, 1994, February. Summertime, in the summer biannual training, you know what we were on? On the Kings. We were on Kings. Life study of the Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings. You go and find a book today concerning, it is called The Practice of the High Peak of the Divine Revelation. There's a book with that name. You'll find a couple of messages there that Brother Lee spoke. And those messages were given immediately after that summer training, as was his practice, to the elders who were present. After the training, right away he would have a couple of days with the elders in those years. And you will find there, he said this. This is only barely less than 6 months after he gave the high peak. He said this. He said, brothers, I'm concerned that this high peak would become a movement. A movement. God become man become God, would become a movement. In other words, just a kind of stirring up. This is the latest, this is the newest. Then he proceeded to say about his burden that today we need essentially the living out of these things and the working out of these things to the point that there would be models of such vision on the earth in the local churches. And he said, when there are models, and in other words, when there is a living out, the practice of the things that we have seen, he said, that is when a revival, the greatest revival, the final revival will come in. You can go and read that. I have here some utterances by Brother Lee. Okay, let me read it to you. Since we have seen such a high peak of the divine revelation, we need to put into practice what we have seen. Practice, brothers. That is my burden tonight. You know, after even this 1 year of training, the eldership training, that's not the high peak. That's just some practical training on how to be a proper leading brother, right? So it's not even a high peak. But nevertheless, some very helpful things in the shepherding and administration of the church, of local churches. Brothers, this is my word of conclusion to that training. put into practice what you have seen. Put it into practice. Don't just say, I got it. I read it. I understand it. No. Put it into practice. Practice these things. Be in them, Paul says, that your progress may be manifest to all. Let me read some more of Brother Lee's utterances on this subject. From Brother Nee's time until today, our practice has never come up to the standard of our vision that we have received of the Lord. Now that's a very, very heavy statement. From Brother Nee until now, our practice have not come up to the vision. Listen to this. If we do not practice the focal points of the Lord's recovery, the things we teach will eventually become doctrines. There will be no reality. The recovery will be empty. We will have the ground of the church, the ground of one church, one city, and we will have the scriptural teachings, yet there will be no experience of Christ in our daily life. Yes, we're on the ground. One city, one church. We're doing all the right things. We're the church in this city or that city. But no reality. Empty. No experience of Christ in our daily life. The only thing that can keep the Lord's recovery full of reality is to practice what we now preach and teach and help the saints in every locality to practice the same thing. In the 60s, 1960s, and on to the early 70s, there was, by all counts, a genuine revival. I say this because I studied this probably, humbly speaking, more than anyone. I'm ready to write a book. In fact, I am writing a book on those 12 years in Los Angeles. Not only so, I was there personally. And let me tell you, in those days, we hardly have the kind of visions we have today, the kind of high revelation that we have today. Those were before the life studies even. The life studies. But you know what? We practiced. We exercised. We lived. And we work out what we saw. That we did, let me tell you. May I say successfully. Maybe not 1,000% successful, but substantially successful, and let me say, a revival broke forth. And in a real sense, that revival became the foundation of the Lord's recovery in the West. Today, we are still here standing on the merit of that revival. Amen. Give an example. Calling on the name of the Lord. Now, how do you connect high peak of the divine revelation with calling on the name of the Lord? How do you connect that? Or, if I can ask the question, Can they be connected? Let me go back to those two messages he gave to the elders in 1994. He said, we have now arrived at the high peak, all these wonderful things. He said, I look at the churches. Where is the calling on the name of the Lord? Yeah. Where is the model of praying the word as we did in those days? Where are the saints who are really living and walking in the Spirit? He dropped from the high peak to I don't know what, to the earth, huh? Brothers, let me continue to read. We all have to endeavor faithfully and honestly to practice day by day what the Lord has shown us. Brothers, practice. In the recovery today, we should practice to live the life of a God-man. We all know God-man living, this, that. Do we live the life of a God-man? Do I? I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to ask me. Do I live a life of a God-man? I read all the books. I heard all the messages on God-man living in the 90s. I read all the books. I heard all the messages on God's organic salvation in the 90s. I read all the messages and heard all the word concerning the reality of the body of Christ. I can give messages, and I have given messages. I'm still giving messages on these things. But the Lord check. Are you living it? Me. You speak it. You teach it. No problem. It's good. But are you or how much are you living? How much are you living yourself? Then I check my own life, my own living. There's nothing but what? Repentance. No, I don't. I don't. We need to endeavor to reach in the church life the highest peak today, Zion, of the reality of the body of Christ. We all know this, right? We should practice the God-ordained way, the way the Lord has ordained for us. We all know this. Whether it is the living of a God-man, whether it is the reality of the body of Christ, whether it is to serve the Lord according to the God-ordained or Scripture-revealed way, in each one of them, the exhortation is practice. Practice. Did my burden at least get through a little bit? I don't know. Before the meeting, to talk to the brothers, it's now 10 years from the time of the last turmoil, great turmoil, that decimated the churches and the Lord's recovery in this part of Canada. In Western Canada, not so much. Western Canada went through it in the early 90s, right? Lower mainland. But this part of Canada in 2006, 2007. I don't want to name names. You know what I'm talking about. Or some of you do. We did a little, you know, tabulation and found out that compared to the number of saints at that time before this turmoil hit, which substantially reduced the number of brothers and sisters in the church life. In Montreal, before it was, 120 and 30, they ended up with half of that because of the turmoil, right? Something like that. In Toronto, you will reduce by what? They will reduce by at least 400 brothers and sisters just left. Today, 10 years later, we do a little quick tabulation. By the Lord's mercy and this labor of the faithful saints, today that number has almost come back. If not 100%, 80%, 90%, 10 years later. Now, let me tell you, I worship the Lord.
Amen.
I thank the Lord. I mean, those who were there in those years, today should be like, we should be like them that dream. I mean, it was bad. Am I right? It was sad. It was the devastation was just unbelievable. We lost all the halls. Am I right? This hall doesn't exist. It's all taken away. It's like dismal, the situation. Hopeless. I remember that because it was at that time I started to come here. We try to cheer each other up, you know. There's nothing to cheer. You have to just kind of cheer each other up. I remember going to Montreal. It's like, I don't know what, you know, these picture you see in World War I, you know, smoke coming out of the ground, you know. War zone, you know, with the people with wounded and stretchers. That was this kind of scene. Today, let me tell you, not we give praise to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This is the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Now let me tell you, today in Toronto, look, we have this hall. The number of saints are coming back in numbers. In GTA area, in Ontario, in eastern part, in Quebec, And even now today, in the Maritime Province, Nova Scotia, am I right? And now even in PEI, today we have more saints there than ever before. And today, not only so, what was broken into two countries like Judah and Dan, you know, East and Western Canada, now have become reunited like those two sticks. Remember those two sticks in Ezekiel that got joined together?
Amen.
And I feel like in a dream what the Lord has done. Not only have we repaired the situation, we are now getting into a situation that is much more positive, unimaginably positive, than ever before. There is such potential, there is such a hope before us in this country. Brothers, it is with this in view, with this encouraging scene in view, that I'm burdened to say this to you. Because there exists a possibility for the churches, the saints in this country, if they put their heart at it, and by God's mercies, to not just stop here and just recover what was lost, but to take it all the way.
Amen.
To do what? To work out these things.
Amen.
I like to challenge the churches, the brothers in Canada, to don't just be happy with a kind of restoration. We are burdened. I am certainly burdened. And I told the brothers, you know, if you go by the number that we started out with 10 years ago to this today, we have more than doubled, because we were so decimated, right? More than double. And today, on the phone list, there are 40 to 4,500 saints in all of Canada. And those who are in meetings, I believe it is, what number is that? I don't even remember, close to 3,000 in the meetings, regular in the meetings in all of this country. And there should be no problem, I see absolutely no problem, that in the next decade, all right, 2027, all right, that the number of saints in this country would be double yet again.
Amen.
Maybe more.
Amen.
There should be 10,000 saints in the Lord's recovery in Canada.
Amen.
Yes or no?
Amen.
I'm not trying to just kind of stir us up with some, throwing some numbers out. I really believe it. Tomorrow, the brothers will talk about the church life, will talk about so many things. We're in his recovery. We're in the right place. With the Lord's blessing. But I am deeply burdened, my brothers, that the Lord's testimony will be more than a mere numeric increase. That, of course, absolutely important. My burden is that in Canada, there will be what? There would be a revival.
Amen.
Not the Pentecostal kind, but this kind, out of the practice of the saints. The earnest and sincere practice.
Amen.
Once we receive something, we will not be happy just to understand it, just to say amen to it, but to go and practice it. Firstly, ourselves, the brothers, we take the lead to practice these things. And then, with our own experience, we help the saints to practice them likewise. We will what? Live out the New Jerusalem. We will work out the New Jerusalem. So New Jerusalem is no longer a vision in the last two pages of the Bible. New Jerusalem, in its reality, would be in our midst. This is the testimony that the Lord is looking for today. And this, in my heart, I feel, we owe to our senior co-workers. That's where I am. I have no other commission until I die, until I am no more. That's my only burden, to live it out and work it out, what has been passed on to us. And God does not need millions to do this. If he can have a remnant, a small number, that would have that reality, brothers, the Lord can come back. Amen. I hope, like me, you would all receive such a charge with fear and trembling. It says, Paul says what? Work out your own salvation. Work it out, he said. We will not be contented, we will not be satisfied with just having them in our notebook. We will exercise our whole being to work it out. And let me tell you, that's our church life today, to work out the revelation. You feel commissioned, brothers? Okay, let me go on. You're not sleeping yet, I hope. Huh? The second charge I have for all of us is to be a pattern. Number one, practice. Number two, be a pattern. This is exactly found in the same chapter. In fact, in the same passage in 1 Timothy 4. Let no one despise your youth, Paul said, but be a pattern to the believers. I'd like to tell you, individually, we need patterns. Collectively, we need models. Nothing speaks louder than pattern. You can give me the instructions, but it's better to show me the product. Pattern is convincing. Model is subduing. You don't need to say that much or even preach that much. You just be. You live that way. You are that kind of person. Let me tell you, the saints will see. And they will be greatly edified. You know, many of us parents are parents. Actually, the most important thing in parenting is to be a pattern to the children, not just to teach them and charge them. No, they watch. They learn much more in watching you than hearing from you. And I speak to brothers who bear some responsibility in the church. Don't go back just to be a good teacher. I would say go back and be a pattern. But to be a pattern, you have to what? Exercise and practice. You don't have to be have full success. You don't have to be that way. But to the extent that you have that certain experience, to the extent that you have certain reality of Christ, I tell you, that, I would like to use this word, listen to me, patterns nourishes. Nourishes people. It's not only an example for people to copy. Actually, patterns nourishes. It feeds others. Let me read some from the ministry. We must be a pattern to the saints. In every local church, there must be some patterns, some models for others to follow. And by the way, I did not quote a very important verse in Philippians 4 concerning practice. What did Paul say? Paul says, what you have seen and heard in me. What did he say? What did he say? This is a very important verse, so let me read it to you. Chapter 4 of Philippians. He says this. The things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do you see the word pattern here? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's burden for the Philippians is not only to give them some help, some teaching. He said, my word, my actions, my behavior, what you have seen, what you have heard in me, you do the same. You practice them. And the God of peace will be with you. In the local churches, let me tell you today, now I'm going to tell you how to build up local churches, okay? I like to tell you, the most needed thing in local churches are patterns. More patterns. Not leaders, you know what I mean? I'm a leader. I got leadership qualities. I'm a great manager, you know? No. That doesn't feed. If a church is full of patterns, that is a blessed church. Amen. The elders are patterns. Even some younger brothers are patterns because they don't despise their youth. Sisters are patterns. You know, today we are short of more sisters mature who are patterns for the younger sisters to know how to be proper sisters. There's a dearth of that. Nothing builds like patterns. But again, to be pattern, you have to be a pattern. That means you have to have that reality. B, the best way to shepherd people, to cherish and nourish them, is to give them a proper pattern. Paul fed his spiritual children, with his own living of Christ. That's in 1 Thessalonians. He said, you saw me, how I came in and go out among you. I didn't just bring the gospel to you. I brought myself to you. And you saw how I was. He fostered the Thessalonians by himself being a pattern for just 3 weeks' time, just 3 weeks in Thessalonica. To give the new believers and young ones a lot of teaching is not the proper way to take care of them. The proper way to foster them is to show them a pattern. By showing them a pattern, you water them, supply them, nourish them, and cherish them. Only by having a pattern can we feed others. If you, brother, are a pattern, the saints will eat you. They will eat you up. They will eat up that pattern. That pattern will become their food and will nourish and supply them. I am around young people a lot, trainees, you know. College age, my wife and I have served the college forever since we got married until today. We have our own children. Now we have grandchildren, you know, all kinds of young people. Let me tell you, I can surely tell you from experience, the teaching and instructions and advice less than 50%. Most is the way we live, the way we are. And, you know, a lot of these trainees, after they graduate, they write a nice note to us, you know. Thank you, Brother Minoru. Thank you, Sister Vicky, for caring for us. And we have a lot of these kind of stuff. And always the most touching thing in these writing, these notes, is this word, thank you for being a pattern. Thank you for being a pattern. Now, we don't think we're such great patterns, and probably we are not. But to some degree, they got fed. They got inspired. And many would even say, we wish that one day we will become like you. In other words, to be patterns to others. You know, the Lord's recovery has a tradition, and I use that word in a very positive way. That tradition of the recovery is not passed on merely by teaching. Yes, it's all in the books, but that is mostly truth and revelation. There's another way that the tradition of the Lord's recovery is passed on, and that is primarily through the living of the saints as patterns. Today, I think you and I are here living in a certain way. You think of a pattern, don't you? There was someone who was a pattern to you. First Thessalonians, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Paul said, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know what Christ left us with? It says, what did Peter say? Christ left us an example. In the four Gospels, it is a book of a pattern, fourfold pattern of the Savior. And Paul imitated that. And now Paul says, imitate me, because I imitate Christ. You see the passing on? Yes, he did say, the teaching I give to you, you teach the faithful men. That's one side, the passing on of teaching. But there's another kind of passing on. That is the passing on of examples, of living, of patterns. I challenge you, even the young brothers among us, you're not that mature, you're not that experienced, but I still challenge you to be before the Lord, not to despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers. I came to the Lord's recovery when I was 17, after I came to this country. Of course, I was born in the recovery and so on, but I came to the recovery on my own when I came to the, not this country, to the United States, 17. And I like to testify to you that somehow, after I came, I just have this kind of thought because of this verse. I love this verse, 1 Timothy 4:2. To not despise my youth and be a pattern to believers, even those who are older than me. I had that ambition. I just had that ambition. Now, how successful I was, I have no idea. I'm just telling you my aspiration. You became... Okay, all right. The believers do not see the Lord first, they see us first. You see that? If we are not a proper pattern or model, it will be difficult for others to see the Lord. They look at you with wonderful prophecy, but you live a double life. There's no pattern there. Because we are the Lord's representatives, we need to be a proper pattern, then others can imitate the Lord by imitating us. Can you believe it? That believers ought to imitate other believers. As we practice, we will learn and get ourselves perfected. Then we will become a pattern, and our pattern will be a perfecting to others. The new ones will see what we do and practice the same thing. So, brothers, this is my main burden tonight. Amen. I don't know what you think about this. Amen. I didn't give you any word about the church. By the way, message one is essential. Message one on the vision of the church. That is a very, or God's purpose concerning the church. Message one here, huh? It's very, very important. In fact, I like you all, tonight if possible, and tomorrow morning before you come to the meeting, at least look over the first two outlines, right, in preparation for tomorrow's meetings. But, brothers, I didn't cover those things. They are important to know. What is the church? What is the original condition of the church? What is the degradation of the church? And what is the recovery of the church? We talk about the church being the eternal purpose of God. We talk about the hidden mystery that is in his heart, that God has nothing in him but to gain a church. We need to see that vision in order to be a part of the recovery of that church. I didn't cover that. It's in the outlines. The message two, we cover the original condition. We cover the degradation that started even when the apostles were alive. And hence, the recovery actually began way back then and not with Martin Luther. the recovery of the Lord began as soon as the degradation set in. And today, we're in the same line of that recovery in these 2,000 years. Degradation going on here, recovery going on right here. And we're in this line. Today, we're not in a movement. We're not a more spiritual group of people. We are not some organization. Brothers, you must realize today we are in the recovery of the church. And I didn't cover that tonight. You have to look at it. In Leipzig, when I studied these messages, these first couple of messages, my overwhelming sense was that I and all the brothers, indeed all the saints, need to see again that God only cares for the church and nothing else. And therefore I, today on this earth, will care for nothing else but the church. Not my work, not my success, not this or that, but the church that is in God's heart. Only that church will satisfy him, will be the sonship for his expression, will be the agent for him to defeat his arch enemy. And for his son, Jesus Christ, to fill all in all and to head up all things in this universe, the church. I just felt, even when I spoke that message and got into the things, that even today, that sensation for the church is not even as strong as in the 60s. In those days, we would live and die for the church. You know what? We get married for the church. We make every decision based on the church. The church is just our life, our living. You never think about leaving the church. That's a bit lost. Well, we need a recovery. So brothers, I don't have the time, but I just say these few words as a kind of underlying burden for these first couple of messages. But what after this 1 year training or 2 year training? You close the book, shelf the notes, then what? Practice. Brothers, let us not be happy with a routine church life. Just carrying on, praise the Lord, just doing these regular things and even in a faithful way, that is not enough. The Lord today is looking down. He wants to see in this city, in this country, in that country, there is a groups of people, groups of men, women, his children, really living out the reality that is unveiled or revealed in his own word by revelation through the apostles. Brothers, amen?
Amen.
That's my burden for tonight. I I share with the brothers, you probably, I don't know whether you've seen in the, I said anything in those videos or not. This is exactly my 50th year in the recovery. 50 years. I never thought I would live that long. We thought the Lord was coming, you know. But the Lord didn't come. So I'm still living here. 50 years later in this recovery. Turmoils, all kinds of things in these 50 years. To the Lord, 1,000 years is one day. So 50 years is a few seconds, right? Or whatever it is, a few minutes maybe. You look at the world situation, you look at all the things. We don't know. We don't know what will happen. But never mind that. What the Lord needs is this. He needs to gain a model, a corporate model of the living out of the God-man and of a church life that is built up according to his revelation. And what the Lord wants to see is a genuine, genuine revival. Amen. Before he comes back. Amen.
Amen.
Canada, it's up to you. I stop here. Maybe have some prayer about this.